This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show. My name is Jason Cutter. This is episode 659, and this is the recap of my conversation with Brian Collins from Virginia Tech. Now, we had a great time, great conversation. If you've caught these Friday episodes before, then you know this is me going through the sales gems, the things that my guests spoke about and were really highlights to me that I took notes on, and I want the show to be about them. So in the act of the show, I do my best to not get overly excited and want to add too much more and make it about me. I want to just make it about them. However, this is my chance. It's my show. It's my podcast. This is where we're at. The Friday episode is me getting to expand on things and kind of add my two cents, if you will. Sometimes if you've listened to these before, then you know it's me getting on my soapbox about topics where there's just a lot that I can unpack in something that the guest says. Again, I want to make the guest episodes about them, in this case about Brian Collins. Yet here we are, so I can talk about myself. Still an only child, still like to talk about myself every once in a while, and so here we are. And again, if you haven't heard the three parts, the three episodes from Brian Collins, which episodes 656, 57, and 58, make sure to check those out. I know a lot of people come here and they listen to this show to just get the nuggets, right? If you're old enough to remember the Cliff Notes versions of books and things like that, then you can read that, get the gems, pick up some nuggets from that, and then maybe go back and listen to the episodes. Obviously, I would love that. And so would Brian. Support these episodes. One of the big things, and I say this every once in a while, this season means so much to me as a guy who was raised hating salespeople, distrusting salespeople, in our family, our analytical family, and also being a guy that didn't fit in anywhere, wasn't a really big fan of people, got a bachelor's degree in marine biology, fell into sales, and I keep shocking people when I tell people this, I have received 0 minutes of formal sales or leadership training. I have never worked at a company where somebody sat me down and put me through training and said, here's how to sell, here's how the script works, here's how you overcome objections, here's how you deal with people, here's how you do this. I've always learned it on my own. I've had to teach myself, and you know, I've gone to courses that, you know, I've enrolled in things. I've read lots of books, listened to lots of podcasts, audiobooks, tapes, you know, way back in the day. But for me, there wasn't a formal option. I kind of fell into sales, and I, you know, never had that opportunity. And to think that there are universities teaching sales, and at some point they're going to come together and have an alignment of what they do and teach as a curriculum like any other study that's being done in college, right? Think of math as math. Of course, there's different teachers, different personalities, different math books, but math is math. Algebra is algebra. Geometry is geometry. And think of a world where people can go to college and get a degree in sales and then go out there in the world and you know, wow, this person went to school for sales. I actually trust and believe that this person knows what they're doing and they're not going to be gross and slimy and terrible or incompetent and a menace or just a hot mess. And so that's why I'm excited about this season, is because it represents these professors doing what they're doing at the schools they're at, which will eventually, not now, but eventually lead to something bigger and bigger for the industry of sales and for people who just want to be professionals. All right, let's go into the first part. Now, the first episode is titled From Financial Path to Sales Professional. And I pause there because the full title is From Professional Financial Path CFO to Sales Professional. So he wanted to be a CFO at a bank. His goal was to be a CFO, which is interesting because it's very specific. Not just be in finance, but it'd be a CFO at a bank. And then he realized he was very curious and he was a better salesperson and more excited about that than going into finance and being a CFO and spreadsheets. And, you know, it's interesting because I kind of had that evolution where I realized, hey, I'm actually pretty good with people. I like people. I'm curious about people and I'd like to help people. I mean, I love spreadsheets and I can work in spreadsheets all the time because it's super fun. But, you know, it's not making a big impact in the way that I know I could. And so I get it, right? I something similar with Brian and, you know, an analytical path to a different one. Now, what's interesting is when we were talking about authenticity and we were talking about sales, he was talking about where, you know, he's teaching people his process And when somebody gets into a job role, is making sure they stick with that process. And this is what I love. This is a note I said, even if you don't agree, and then see how it goes. There's so many people who get into sales, especially if they have any experience, which most people do, right? Whether it's a professional sales role that they've been in, or it's their first time in a professional sales role, but they've sold other things and they feel like they're really good at sales and they have some natural sales skills. The challenge comes is that kind of person isn't always open, isn't always curious, and isn't always willing to learn and be taught and then try things a certain way. It comes to a very much, I don't need your script. I don't need this process. I know what I'm doing. Let me do what I do best, sales mode or mindset and mentality. And to me, that's so damaging. That's so restrictive, where if you think you know everything or you think you have the process that works well and you don't need someone else's process, then you're going to really limit your career. Short term, you might do well. You might close some sales. Long term, you're going to find it very limited. And I even see people who they do well in an industry and they think they're really amazing at sales, but they've never gone outside their industry. What they've learned is how to sell this one widget, right? How to sell this one service or this one product really well. And they don't really have any actual sales skills outside of that, right? They don't have sales fundamentals and things that they can do outside of it if they were to just be dropped in a completely different industry and just had to sell that instead. Do they have what it takes to do that, or are they stuck? And they might be you if you're listening to this. That could be a limitation and issue. Just remember, companies are in business to be successful. That's it, right? No company, no owner, no founder starts a company and says, let's do a mediocre company that will most likely fail because we're not very good at what we do, right? That's not what anyone does when they start a company. In fact, most people are so delusional about how amazing they are that they don't realize what it's going to take to be successful. I'm not saying they're going to fail, but they just think, oh, I have an amazing product, or I'm amazing, and so everyone's going to want this, right? Field of dreams mode. If you build it, then they're going to come. And that doesn't work on the other end. But here's the thing. Again, businesses are there to create revenue, to make money, to succeed. So if you get hired on a company as a salesperson, do not fight or do not question what it is they're having you do, especially in the beginning. Give it some time. Just use what they tell you. Follow what they tell you. They know what they're doing. Now, if it's clear that they really don't know what they're doing and they don't want your feedback, then run. Go find a different company, because that thing's going to go down in a blaze of glory. Otherwise, most companies know what they're doing. If they have more than just a few employees, especially if they have more than a few salespeople, and if their salespeople have been there for more than just a few weeks, then trust that they know what they're doing and just follow their instructions. Just go into it with an open-minded curiosity, where they tell you to use this script, this process, say these things, follow this steps. Then just do it, because it's so important to just go with the flow. And then either give feedback or adapt it to your own when that time comes. So important. All right, another part in the authentic section of the podcast he was talking about is your job is not to just go in and sell stuff. And I put this in air quotes because it makes me laugh. Your actual goal in sales is to help someone. Right now, I think this is where sales gets a bad rap as well. And I talked about it last week in the episode where I was debriefing from the Dr. Tim conversation in a different mode. But this time it's important for us to talk about the fact that one of the issues with sales, or people have with sales from a customer standpoint, is the transactional commodity stuff, where somebody is just selling stuff, right? Think of what it feels like when you walk through a mall. You know, malls are still around. It seems like they go away, but they don't. If you've been in a modern mall in the last, even 10 years, right, pre-pandemic, if you want to think back that far, then you know what it's like, because you're walking through the main section of the mall, and there's now all these kiosks so they can make the most of every square foot in the mall, and then those people are just actively trying to sell you stuff. And there's usually laws in place and rules which make it so they can't aggressively go after you, they can't interact with you, they can't do anything. A lot of times, you know, many years ago, it was where there were no rules in place, and it just felt like you were going through a bazaar, like a Middle East bazaar where I've been before, and it's just like everyone is coming out after you, and it's just like a gauntlet, and it's just so rough to get through from one side of the mall to the other. And what's happened is they put in rules in place where they can't do that. And so a lot of times you see these people just standing there sad on their phone because they're waiting for someone to come by, but what are the chances of that? But you do see those interactions where someone is just trying to get you to buy stuff. Like, do I really need this stuffed animal or this drone or this skin cream or this thing? It's like, that's just stuff. And the problem is people get into a professional sales role and they think that's what sales is. And this comes up in the conversations with the professors a lot, where the students that are entering into the sales class, especially for the first time, their only experience is either watching their parents do some big ticket stuff like a car or buying a house or things like that, or more transactional things that they've either seen others do or they themselves have done. And so they think that's what sales is, and they don't understand the value that goes into being a professional in sales and the goal of actually helping people and being genuine in your goal of helping people, not just genuine in your goal of hitting your quota so that you can make money. And I think that's a really big difference. That's really important for people to understand, is that you don't want to be in the business of just selling stuff, right? Actually create value, actually help people. And again, part of my mission statement is to leave people better than I found them. If I do that every single time, then sometimes I will sell people, sometimes I won't. Sometimes it makes sense to move forward now, sometimes it doesn't, but that's the basis of it. It's not anything about selling stuff or being afraid to sell somebody anything. It's really about that. All right, let's dive into part two with Brian Collins. This one's titled Focus on This One Thing If You Want to Be Successful in Sales. And again, going back to what we talked about just a minute ago, is being genuine. And really, when we're talking about sales process, this was interesting, is that his response was building trust in an authentic way starts with being genuine with what you're asking. Both doing homework beforehand and then trying to find out things about them so that you can then use that in the conversation to build genuine curiosity and then trust. Again, it's not a tactic. When you do it wrong, when you do that research, because I have that where people approach me to try to sell me something, and I know they just did it as a tactic. I know they're just doing it to try to get their end result. And then every once in a while, I can tell when somebody just did it because they were curious. They were researching me, and then they found some cool nuggets and some cool, interesting things that they're curious about, which is totally different. And it comes across different, and I can detect it different, right? It's just a different approach. You can just feel it. Now, when we get into the sales process, one of the things I asked him is, what do buyers want from a sales process and from a salesperson, right? Which is the important thing, because a lot of sales teams, companies, sales leaders build it for, here's what we want the process to be like. But what do buyers actually want? Well, the big thing is that he said is that different personalities want different things. And it's not that they don't care about a process. It's not that they don't care about the salesperson. It's that you need to adapt. And he said, mirror them. I did an episode recently about mirroring, but you basically need to focus on that person and that personality. Now, one of the biggest things is you've got to be careful, because you don't want to just go into it and have, you know, 19 different processes or 16 different processes for 16 personality types, because that's tough to manage, that's tough to scale and keep track of. So you want to have a general sales process, like I have the Authentic Persuasion Pathway, and then within that, you want to do each of those steps in a way that takes into account that other human that you're talking to and what they want. What do they need in that moment? What is their personality? What's their biggest driver? What's their biggest fear in that moment? And I don't mean the fear of change. I mean, what are they afraid of? Like analytical people, their biggest fear is making a mistake. That's what leads to analysis paralysis. And so you've got to understand, if I'm talking to an analytical person, their biggest fear is making a mistake, then how do I give them what they need in the sales process while at the same time moving forward? Because the last thing I want to do is actually give them everything they need, which is all of the data and information that they're craving so they can make the perfect decision. Because what happens is there's no perfect decision. So then that analytical person never makes a decision. So if I fully give them everything they're asking for and I don't have a process to move them forward, I will lose every time. And I will become an order taker that's hoping they call me back with somebody who's never calling me back, because they are going to put their head back in the sand, or they're just going to keep researching until it's no longer important. And so keep that in mind when we're talking about sales process. There's always that balance of, I got to build the sales process, and then I also have to account for you as an individual. What do you want and need? And then how do I make sure I keep moving you forward? Just like we talked about in the Dr. Tim summary, is that you've got to motivate that change. You've got to move people forward. Your job is action and urgency. Once you know you can help someone, you've got to do it in the right way. All right, third part here. This one was titled, How to Build Trust in the Future of Sales. And this is, again, one of the fascinating things. You know, listen to enough of these episodes. I don't know which week this is in the new season. It's probably 16, 17, 18, somewhere in that range. If you listen to just the third part of each one of these guest episodes, then you line those up. There's going to be a lot of similarities, right? Obviously, the topic of AI, huge when we're starting to record these episodes for this season, but also technology in general. People in sales constantly either worried about technology or trying to use technology and scale things they shouldn't scale. And here's the thing, is that what Brian was talking about with the future of sales is, he said something's interesting. He said, we are taught features, buyers want benefits. Okay. And most people know you don't sell features, you sell benefits. And that's great that people know that. But what people are taught in sales are the features. Most people understand all the features and the stats and the data and all of that. And again, he talked about an example with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, right? Like, what's the feature versus the benefit? If you think about it, what was the benefit of Rudolph versus what is the feature of Rudolph? And then how do you sell the benefit instead of the feature? And again, if you're selling benefits, that's important. You got to know where to put those in. A lot of people put those in way too early in the conversation instead of focusing on when you should bring in the benefits as the vehicle to move people forward, right? And if we talk about the last part here in the episode, which was what he was excited. I asked him a little bit different version of the question I normally ask, which is what he's excited about the future of professional sales education. And what he's excited about is being recognized by colleges and departments. And I talked about this at the beginning of this episode, why this is so important to me, why this means so much, is that for these programs to really take off, for this to become something of an industry, for sales to actually be a profession, which it is not, because there's no requirements, there's no barrier to entry, there's no accountability, there's no ethics, as a standard in sales. And so for that to really happen, colleges need to actually recognize and accept these sales departments. I talked to a lot of sales professors who their own college doesn't like them there, or doesn't fully support them, or maybe their dean does over here, but the rest of the university doesn't over there. Or I talked to professors where now they're accepted. Now everyone likes them. Now everyone sees the value. Now everyone's excited about the fact that they have 100% job placement in their students going out there in the world versus all the other disciplines out there, which do not have that, right? And so now they're supported by the university, but when they started, they absolutely were not. And so I think that's an exciting time where, you know, colleges will accept these sales programs. So thank you for being here. Long episode, looking at the time here, it's 18 minutes in. Hopefully you made it through this whole thing, got some value from this. Use this stuff in your sales career. Don't just listen to this, but put things in place. And I appreciate everyone tuning in. And thank you for helping fill the world with authentic persuaders.